volunteering?
Huh?
Who was that?
No. I can
you
open first.
You going to, Gail?
Yeah, I'll open first.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God that you are, we thank you, Lord, that we can come together at a time such as this, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would be the center of everything that we discuss today, Lord. Give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need in order to proceed with this meeting, Lord. Touch each and every one of us, and Holy Spirit, you are most welcome in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right, so just a little bit of a recap from last week, because Gail, unfortunately, and I don't know how to get it up to you, Gail, unfortunately. We did forgiveness, but we spoke about it generally in what most people speak about, but then we spoke about it in regards to forgiving ourselves and how that can also have detrimental effect if we don't forgive ourselves, because we put ourselves higher than God, and all the consequences of not forgiving, physical illnesses, mental, etc., etc. So we just did just went in depth with that last week. So today we're going to be discussing covenant. Now, once again, it's going to be slightly different. We will start off with the normal covenant, and then we'll go on to looking at it in the light of our lives and us and the Lord. So, does anybody know how many covenants there are in the Bible?
Never counted.
There are 8 covenants in the Bible. Okay, 7 in the Old Testament and 1 basically in the New, which is the covenant of all covenants, okay, which is the one that the Lord Jesus did for us. Okay, now I've got to see if I can find. I know I had it, but I deleted a whole lot of stuff when I was half asleep. Okay, I think I'll just have to look it up here. Okay, so covenant 1. I really have lost my... Okay, covenant 1 was in the Garden of Eden, when basically the Lord said, everything in here but the fruit on the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that is not, you're not to eat. So that was a covenant. Anything you could have, but this. Okay, so covenant is an agreement between people, right? They normally have specific time spans, they normally have conditions, but basically a covenant means that you laying down your individual life and you joining it to somebody else's life, and they are then leaving their individual life and joining it to the other party. Now, normally we associate that a good way of doing it would be in marriage, where you lay down your life for your spouse and your spouse does the same for you. Okay. But in the Old Testament, there are 3 types of covenant. Now, most people deal with 2 of them, which is the God to man covenant, which is the 7 covenants in the Old Testament, and the Jesus one in the New Testament. Okay. And then there is man to man covenant. Now, there's quite a few examples in the Old Testament, once again, like where David and Jonathan made a covenant. They exchanged items like belts and things like that to make covenant so that they would always be there for one another. So we can see throughout the Bible. So I'm just going to frustrate me now, really, to know, and until I can tell you what those covenants were. So let me see if I can think it off the top of my head. If I can't remember it, I'll actually put it into the chat in the table of transformation group the eight covenants that there are. So the one was the Garden of Eden. Then there was the Abrahamic covenant. So it was Abraham's covenant. There was the Mosaic covenant, which is Moses. Then there was the Noah. I don't know how to say it in the funny way, but the one that he made with Noah. And then let me just have a look and see. I must have it here somewhere. It's going to. Okay, let's have a look and see if I can get it down here. Aha, I found it. Okay, so the one in the Garden of Eden, then the one that he made with Adam, which is slightly different, was when he was out of the garden already. So then there was the Noah, then Abraham, then Moses, then the Palestinian, which is the promised land, then the David covenant, and then the new covenant. Okay, so the one in the Garden of Eden is in, you can find it in Genesis 2:17. These are just one little, it's just the start, okay? There's plenty more, but it's just to give you a little bit of the one with Adam was Genesis 3:15. Then the Noah one was Genesis 6 verses 5-9. The one with Abraham was Genesis 15 verses 4-18. The one with Moses was Exodus 19 verses 5-6. The Palestinian, which is the land covenant, was Deuteronomy 8. And then the one with David was 2 Samuel 7, verses 11-16, and 2 Samuel 7, verses 11-16, okay. And then 1 Chronicles 17, verses 10-14. Okay. And then the New Covenant is in, we find that in Romans 5, verses 12-14, and 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45-49. Okay, so those are the covenants that are made throughout the Bible. So that's how important covenant is to God. God has always tried to make a way through covenant to have a relationship with his people. Until ultimately, Jesus is the one that sacrificed everything. If you think about it, he was in heaven and he came down to be man. He then gave his life for us and went back up to heaven, and he's still interceding for us day and night. Okay, so God has always been a covenant relationship orientated God. He always wants relationship above everything else. So in that light, what I want you to do just for a few minutes now is think about when you first gave your life to the Lord. Can you remember that far back, or was it just a little while ago? When you gave your life to the Lord, why did you give your life to the Lord, and what did you say to the Lord? So, Lord, if you save me, or here I am, Lord. I know a friend of mine, when she gave her life to the Lord, she gave the Lord her alcohol. Now, she wasn't a full-blown alcoholic, but she was going down that road. So she gave the alcohol to the Lord, and to this day she's never had any alcohol, because that was her covenant to God. She said, you saving me from all this mess, I want to give you this in return. So how did you, if you can remember, did you give anything to God when you gave your life to him? Okay, now thinking about that, when we actually give our lives to the Lord, there are those Christians that you give your life to the Lord and you put Jesus on as a hobby or as a extra in your life. So you love him, you friends with him, you saved, but you don't actually live full out for him. Okay, and there are many Christians that are like that. I was one. God was always, God was only there when I needed him. Oh, Lord, help me financially here. Or Lord, help me do this here. Or Lord, help me do that. But whenever God came to me and wanted me to do things, I wasn't always readily available to do them for him. Okay. But then there are those of us that come to a realization. Some of us do it when we get born again, and others of us have to take the journey to the realization that when we give our lives to the Lord, it's our whole lives. We're covenanting with him. We are saying, here is my life. Do what you will with it. Let me lay down my life and let me pick up yours. And what you've planned and purposed and who you've created me to be. Now, not many people see that, and not many people live like that. It is very difficult. If you think about it, even in the Old Testament, the Levites, they even though that was their calling, they still fell. They still did things that they weren't supposed to do. So it's not something. So when I was praying about the order of things, and I said to the Lord, Lord, why am I doing covenant in the second week and not the other way around? And he said, because when you come to a realization sometimes of, and this is what I did, is that when you come to a realization that you've let God down, now there's grace to allow us to rectify that. There's forgiveness to allow us to pick ourselves up and walk away from what we've done. But if we don't understand the forgiveness of ourselves, then we will find that being in covenant with the Lord can be quite law-abiding. And that can break us if we live by the letter of the law. We should live by the letter of his covenant because we desire to lay down our lives for him as he laid down his life for us. Okay. Now, when I was praying about just lots of things that in a way didn't make sense to me, because you hear people, just getting a bit there. You hear people saying, why does God let this happen? Why does that God let that happen? And as we know, it's not what God lets happen. It's our disobedience or our selfishness that things happen and then there's consequences. But I say to God, but God, you're often misrepresented in many different areas. And he said, yes, because I love unconditionally. I love the person unconditionally. But if you think about covenant, there are always conditions until death do us part, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. Okay, that's just a covenant in marriage. But if we look at through the covenants that God made with the Israelites, there's the blessings and the cursings. They could choose whether to live under the curses or whether to live under the blessings. So going forward, there are always conditions to a blessing, to a fulfillment of a plan and a purpose. But God will love us through that plan and purpose unconditionally. So just because it doesn't feel like God's doing, blessing us beyond measure in the fact that the finances, there isn't an ATM that we can just go to and money shoots out, or there's, you know, we might have health issues or whatever, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. He loves us unconditionally. But what covenants have we ourselves made that we aren't fulfilling? And that can hinder the blessings of God, because God takes us at our word. As much as we have to take him at his word, he takes us at our word. Even though he knows our weaknesses, he knows our strengths, he knows us, but he still takes us at our word. So what have we in ourselves given to God that we haven't fulfilled, that we haven't kept? It could be a promise. It could be anything, anything that you dedicated to the Lord when you first gave your life to him, anything like that. And if there is anything, I found the best way to deal with that is to ask the Holy Spirit to highlight it, to bring it to my remembrance so that I can repent of it, so that I can ask forgiveness, forgive myself, get up, and walk on. And then the blockage of whatever is stopping me from being who I am in the Lord will move out the way, because God is a gracious God. If you look, when the Israelites left Egypt, they could have been in the promised land within days, but through their broken covenant to God, they wandered the desert for years. But the minute they repented, the minute they were ready to enter, he parted the waters, the second lot of waters, for them to cross over, and they took the promised land. They then owned it. Okay. So how much do we want to take the promised land of who we are, who God's created us to be, and to walk in the fullness of what he has planned and purposed for us? So just thinking about that, okay, so as I said, covenant is conditional. We do it as a condition because it has a specific time and a space. It has a specific plan and a purpose. It's there for, normally, a covenant is normally there for our safeguard. It's to keep us safe. A covenant is the umbrella, that is the umbrella of God. The minute we step outside of that, the hail and the storm and anything can get us. But the minute we step under his umbrella, we're protected from that again. We're protected to fulfill his plans and purposes. So many people look at, they use the scripture like, the desires of your heart, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. But where does the desires of your heart come from? And why does he give you the desires of your heart? It's when you seek him. When you seek his way, when you seek his will, when you align your thoughts and your ways to his thoughts and his ways, then we begin to really see what the desires are in our hearts. And we can fulfill that, because then we are walking in accordance with God's plans and purposes. See, now I've got to go back to my notes. Okay, so as I said, most people deal with the first two types of covenant, which is God to man and man to man. But we don't often hear people speaking about man to God. And when we give our lives to God, it's got to be a covenant, because God is a covenant-making God. But a lot of us don't think about our side of the covenant. We're grateful for his side, that Jesus came and he died and he set us free. But we don't often, we tend to be very selfish and look at everything that we can get out of the covenant, but we don't actually look to see what we can give to the covenant. And I think the minute that we start doing that, and one thing that one of the mentors that I and Molly listen to is that, it's just gone now. Thank you, Lord. Well, maybe I wasn't meant to say that. Okay. But very often we always look at it from our perspective. We don't look at it from God's perspective. And I think when we actually turn it on its head and we look at it from God's perspective, I think we'll begin to see things a lot more clearer. I think a lot more of our frustration will be dissipated because we are seeing things from God's perspective and not from ours. And God sees things from a higher perspective. He can see the whole outcome of things. We only see the little bits, the valleys and the mountains and things. We don't look from the top to see everything, you know. So in once again, both in Jeremiah and in Hebrews, there is a covenant that God talks about. Okay, so I'm going to read them both to you, and I want you to listen and see what you can pick up, if you pick up anything at all. Okay, so Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 34. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Hebrews 10, verse 16. Let me just move it up so I've got it. Okay. This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I'll write them on their minds. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Okay, let me open it up. Anybody see any difference in those two scriptures?
Yeah, in the Hebrews one, it says that sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. But the gist of it, the gist of both were before were similar, where he will put his laws in their hearts and forgive their sins and remember them no more. But the added one in Hebrews is about sacrifices no longer being necessary.
Okay. Yeah. Because in the Old Testament, they still had to sacrifice. In the New Testament, they didn't. Okay. Yeah. But there is one thing there in Jeremiah, it says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts.
Yeah.
Okay. That is the Old Testament. So they had the law in their minds. So in other words, they had the scrolls, they learnt it. And then he had to write it on their hearts. So it went from head to heart. But if you read in Hebrews, it says, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write it on their minds. Because through Jesus, he reaches our heart first. And then he has to teach us, because a lot of us, and I believe I stand corrected, but I think this wasn't to the Jewish people that he was writing this. So they didn't know the Jewish laws. They didn't know that. So God had to get it into their hearts first, and then he had to teach it teach it to their minds. So they had to renew their minds. Mm. And that's what we'll be dealing with next week, is renewed minds. So that fits in very well, Lord. Thank you very much. I didn't realize that until now. So do you see? So in other words, it doesn't matter today under Jesus. It doesn't matter. God wants it written and on both our minds and our hearts. He wants his covenant for us in both places, because we need both places to fulfill his plans and purposes. Right. So if you would like to write down, we didn't do it in the beginning, but I should have done it, but I don't think I did it last week. So a little bit of your homework for next week is going through, if you want to, you don't have to, but if you want to go through the eight covenants, just to see a little bit of the gist of what I'm trying to say, and the fact of how important covenant was, and yet how man keeps breaking it with God. So in your own, number one, in your own words, what does covenant relationship mean to you? Then number two, what is your understanding of a covenant between people? It could be, you can use the example of a husband and wife, or in a friendship or a close family relationship, like David and Jonathan, you know? So you can take any one of those. You don't have to particularly do a husband and wife, but just what is your understanding of a covenant between people? So man-to-man covenant, right? This is a question that I've asked you already, but it's for you to think about. When you gave your life to the Lord, so this is number three, did you make a vow to him? And if you did, what was it? Number four, thinking about the covenants God made, how does that make you feel?
Which one now? Is this the New Testament?
That is number four. Thinking about the covenants. If you've read through the covenants and just got a gist, I'll point you in the kind of the right direction. It's kind of like God kept putting his hand out to make right his relationship with
man. Okay, so it's all the covenants. You're talking all the covenants now.
Yeah. Thinking about the covenants God made.
Specifically the New Testament covenants.
All eight of them. All eight covenants. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel terrible? Does it make you feel honored? Does it make you feel relieved? Does it make you, how does it make you feel? Okay.
Okay.
Then number five, what is your understanding of a covenant between you and the Lord? And then number six.
Wait, sorry.
Am I going too fast?
Yeah, rewriting. You're just reading.
None of you did shorthand.
We can't do shorthand. Number six.
Okay, number six is, if you didn't vow to the Lord or make a covenant with the Lord when you gave your life to him, what is it that you would like to dedicate or make a covenant with him from this day forward?
Nice.
This is a lot of homework.
Yeah, well, did any of you do your homework last week, or did I forget to give it to you? It's making up for last week, see? The questions are more or less the same in different ways. So you don't have to take it as one, two, three. Just read through it and just write whatever you feel God is telling you, you know, or how you're feeling. And that's basically what it's just in the gist of getting to know.
Like in a little essay type format.
Yeah. Sorry?
Like in a little essay format.
Yes, you can do it like that. Yes. Any way that you want to. Yeah. So it's just, it really is just making us stop and think about the fact that there is a covenant making God. And what is our part? What is our plan and purpose in this covenant making God's scheme of things? As a person, as about who he's created us to be. Now, as I said, there was one lady who gave up the alcohol. There was another one, it was actually my mom, who actually, the day she got saved, the cigarettes went in the bin straight away. And she was a chain smoker. She had ashtray after ashtray with cigarette after cigarette. I mean, she would light one, put it down, go out, light another one. So that one was burning, that one was burning, and the other one was burning. So she was a chain smoker before she came to the Lord. But the day that she got saved, she said, God, if you really, really real, and I'm giving you my life, I'm giving you my cigarettes as well. And she never touched a cigarette from that day forward. Amazing. So those are just examples of, but there's probably loads different. It could be an emotional promise. It could be anything that you deem the Holy Spirit highlights for you to do or to give God in covenant. So we basically, at the end of the day, we doing our bit in the covenant. And it's not a law. It's got to be by grace. It's got to be out of love. Because God doesn't do covenants out of a law. He does it out of relationship. He wants to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to be all that he created us to be. And we can do that through covenant. You know, I know as some of you may know, Marshall and I have been married now 40 odd years. This next year will be 41 years. And somebody lost their spouse the other day. And it got me to thinking, you know, for me, if I had to lose Marshall, it really would feel like I had lost half of me. I was 18 when we got married. I've been married to him longer than I was at home. He does things. I sat down and I thought about stuff that he does that he just automatically does. I don't even have to think about it. So if I lost him, half of my world would go into shambles because he automatically does it. And that's sometimes how we take God. We just take him for granted. You know, do we really appreciate? Do we really understand? Do we covenant with him in what he's done and where he wants to take us?
Yeah.
So, anybody got anything to share? No. Next week we'll do it the right way around. We'll open the meeting with sharing your homework and then we'll go on to doing what God's laid on my heart to do. So so that is one thing that I will be changing. So because it is supposed to be a workshop.
Yeah.
So is everybody enjoying everything so far?
I think we've actually got a lot to think about here.
Thanks.
As long as it's helping you to become all that God has planned and purposed for you to be.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, that is the whole essence of what I feel God is calling, is that a lot of times ladies, they do get hung up with being the mother, being the wife, being the grandmother, being whatever, but they never look at who God created them to be.
Yeah.
You know, we do get bogged down with doing things because we generally are doers instead of being who God's called us to be. You can be a doer, but you've got to be who God's called you to be so that you can do the things that God has called you to do.
It goes hand in hand with identity. your identity as a woman in Christ. You know, when you understand what your identity in Christ is, it makes it easier for you to step forward into all the plans that he has for you and the purposes that he has for you.
Yeah.
When you're understanding your identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's the same as like, so for me, because I've been married so long, I suppose I do relate it to being married, is that we are married to God, really.
Yeah.
In that way. And, you know, there are marriages that only one person works hard at everything and the other one just takes. But there's very few and far between are there marriages that both give. And you can't give 50-50 because
50%
and 50 only meet. But if you give 100%, 100%, it overlaps and it's stronger. And with God in the center, it's like a three-stranded cord. It's not easily broken. So if we have Christ in us, we have the three in one, which is what we spoke about last week, in the fact that God breathed into us. And what I still find amazing is that God showed me when a baby's born, he's there, he breathes his breath into that baby and it breathes and his life is in it. What that baby does with that as he grows up, he will be held accountable for, or I will be held accountable, you know, whoever will be held accountable. But God is in us. And if we want to accomplish the things that he wants us to accomplish, we need to also covenant with him to create and to work at our souls so that we can be all that he's created us to be.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. So let's close in prayer and then we can stop the recording. And if anybody wants to just chat a bit, we can do that too for a little bit. So Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for hosting and leading and guiding us and opening our ears and our eyes and our hearts to all that you want to say to us individually. And I just pray, Lord, that as the ladies go forth into this week, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you would highlight to them the areas that you want to work on, the areas that you want to help them with. And I thank you, Lord, for your love that surpasses all understanding, along with your peace, that fills them to overflowing as they enter into this week and they do all the things that you've called them to do and be who you've called them to be. So we ask this and pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right, so let's just see a stop.